And it goes on in Genesis 3 to say that you'll give birth to children in sorrow, and your desire will be to your husband. He will rule over thee. All right? And so it started there. Now, that's not a curse just because of that. That is not just a curse. And I do think that women are rebelling to the whole concept of God and the Bible and this patriarchal. I hear women talking about patriarchal. Look, God is a father, okay? He's not a mother. God's a father. And God set up the system. And I didn't decide how I was going to be born. And I haven't argued with the birth certificate, okay? I just was born a male, and I haven't adopted Christianity because I'm a male and I like the way it fits my style. No. It's what God's word says, and I'm just going to follow it. And you know what? It's good for me, and it's good for my wife. It's good for my kids. I know it works. I know it's right. I've had the opportunity to live long enough to see my other relatives who defied all this concept of biblical Christianity and swallowed this liberalism and this concept. I remember I have one relative, they're dead, and I think they're probably in hell, I'm sorry to say. But they were so all about this women's rights and all this stuff, and they just couldn't stand, you know. In fact, well, I won't go into it because, you know, this is on recording, but they just were so into it. I mean, they're just so full-blown into it, and yet they really have nothing to show for it. As a matter of fact, probably the most logical, down-to-earth child that they had, or grandchild that they had, went to a Baptist church like ours on a Sunday school bus and got saved at a camp out from under them, kind of like my mom, kind of like my reviewing of my mom's story. And I'm sure, you know, deep down it frustrates them because that wasn't their lifestyle. Whereas the other cousin, I think they spent millions of, you know, thousands of dollars on a wedding, and it didn't even last very long. Hey, you know what? I know God's way is the right way. I know it works, but we got to submit to it. We got to allow God to be in charge of us. Years ago, I was in Hawaii, and praise the Lord for that opportunity. I was in Hawaii, and I was on a fishing boat. Just my dad likes to go out and go fishing, and so he drags me along, and we go out and we go fishing, and we never catch anything when we go. That's why I'm complaining about it, because we never catch anything. But anyhow, we're out there, we're never catching anything. But anyhow, there's this guy from Detroit, and he's just talking the whole time. And he's just talking the whole time. And he says, yeah, he starts talking. He said, yeah, I work for Ford, and wife works for Ford, and we make blah, blah, blah. You know, just, and he's just, nobody, I mean, it's like, shut up. You know, it's just, but he's just talking, you know. And then he just starts rattling off. He says, yeah, and then we just had a kid and just had another baby. And my wife was saying to me, now, I would really, she's had this maternity leave, and she's about to have to go back to work, or it's about time up, you know. She said, I really want to stay home and just, don't you think that we could just work it out? I could just stay home and watch the kids. He said, well, I told her. I said, well, sure. That's what you want to do, but you can't keep driving the excursion, and we ain't going to be able to stay in this house. We're not going to be able to. I started showing her all the things we're going to have to change if she doesn't work. And he said, I talked her out of it. Now, you know, he's just some guy. I'll never see him again, probably. But, you know, I know that those are choices that people make because of the present tense. I want to just talk about some obvious things. And so some of us, we were talking, and, you know, first of all, you got, I would say you got expenses. I mean, he mentioned it in the video. You've got babysitting. When you factor in how much it costs for daycare, and by the way, that is why the public school system works. Not because it really makes sense, but because it is daycare. It's government daycare, all right? And so you factor in daycare, and you factor in the need for food, because if you're going to feed them, and you're going to pay for food, and you're going to pay for someone to watch them, and then on top of just the daycare, all right, then you've got the stress, all right? Because instead of spending all day with your children, like you could. Now, please, let me stop here and say, I am not making fun of people or trying to hurt people's feelings. I'm just pointing out why God is right all the time. God is always right, okay? I understand there are single mothers out there, and I understand that there's probably families that would love to do this, but they're just in a trap. They're in a trap where how do we get out of this? Well, I think we have to desire for God to help us to get out of it. You know, remember what it says, delight thyself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And instead of saying, well, I don't want to give up this excursion, I don't want to give up this big house, just give up whatever it takes to make things happen the way you know God would have. Why? Put him first. And by the way, this is not about putting the kids first. If that's the attitude, you're wrong. If a parent says, well, I just want to put my children first, that's not the reason to do it. Who is to be first? God. So I'm doing it because I want to please God, not because I can see how it would be a benefit. And those are the side effects of pleasing God. So the motive has to be right. And by the way, anybody who says, well, I'm more spiritual because I get to stay home with my kids, that doesn't make you spiritual because you do that, okay? There's got to be the right reason, the right motive. It could be that there's a mother who would love that and begs God for that and pleads with God to help her find a way to for that to happen. And she's actually walking close to the Lord, and God will bless her more than the one who thinks they're spiritual because they are staying at home type of thing. I think that sometimes ladies that stay at home don't do nothing. You know, they're not hardly getting hardly anything accomplished. So hear me out. I'm not just trying to bash one type of situation here, but hopefully you understand what I'm saying. God's way is right. And my parents struggled. It was not easy. My dad, he'll say it. I think my mom will say it. My dad will say, my wife married a businessman, not a preacher, you know? And that was what she was getting into, she thought, and that's what her family thought she was getting into. So when he changed from what he was doing, her family thought he was nuts. Praise the Lord, she didn't think he was nuts, but her family did. And I love to say, after all these years, their marriage stayed together, and some of the other career seekers didn't, okay? But let me just quickly give you some things here from the Bible and hopefully help you to make sense of this. But I started to say this about this. So you factor in the expenses. I mean, probably not only babysitting, but someone said, and you probably, if you're going to be working, then you got to have certain clothes for the job, you know, so that, you got to buy the clothes. And then you're probably going to stop by the little espresso house because you got to have one of those to keep you going all day because you're so wiped out. So then you got to have a coffee budget. And then you probably are too tired and too busy to make breakfast, to make lunch, to make dinner. So your family's eating more out more, or they're eating more processed food from the store. And you see how this trickles down. I mean, it becomes a domino effect. And a lot of people don't even realize. They don't even realize all that. You know, they don't even see all that. They don't even understand. Here's what I wish we could understand. Doubling your income does not fix your problem as much as sewing up the holes in the bottom of the bag. We Christians should understand this more than anybody. You don't need a higher paying job or two people working as much as you need God to just sew up the holes and to stop the drainage. And that's what I'm saying is that people do this and they don't understand all the drainage that there is and with this going on. And so what happens, there's no bonding. Pretty soon, the babysitter, the nanny, becomes more in tune with the child than the mother and the father. You think about it. I know this is happening. The stress of working. And then you've got the wife having a boss at work and then coming home and having to listen to the boss at home. And the boss at work treats her nicer than the boss at home and pays her more than the boss at home. And the stress, and then the mess, you know, because there's nobody to keep. It just trickles down. And I'm talking to the young girls in here as much as I'm talking to anybody, because they're not married yet. And you need to be thinking this and understand and recognize the advantages you have to know better. And there's really, and when it's all said, and then there's temptation. There's temptations, you know. All of a sudden, somebody at work is nicer to me than at home, and there's temptation. I mean, there's just lots of stuff. And after it's all said and done, there's really not that much gain. You know, on paper, it looked like you were going to make so much more, but, and for our country, now that we've got women voting, what have we got? Have we got any better? No. So now, am I saying this because I don't like, no, I'm not saying this because I'm a chauvinist or like women. I'm saying this because I like God and I like the Bible, and I know God is very good to women. And I know that when we do it right, when the man is right, when the man is right, it's such a relief to the wife. I saw another little comic just the other day. You might have seen me. I posted it if you have Facebook, if you have mine. It showed a mother with a bruise on her head. It showed a younger girl, the daughter, and then it showed a little baby boy. And in the background, it showed the figure of a man walking out the door with his bags packed, and he's walking out the door. And the mother is saying, I don't need a man. And the daughter is saying, I don't want a man. And the baby boy is saying, I don't want to be a man. So let's not forget where this really starts. It starts with the men, okay? And so if you marry a blob instead of a godly man, you will probably end up being the breadwinner, and it will be tough on you. You don't need to do that to yourself. Marry a godly man who understands his role, his job, his position, okay? Now, we're going to run out of time, so I got to go quick, but let's just look at a few passages. Let's go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus 2, and then we'll go to 1 Timothy after that. Titus chapter 2 and verse number, let's just read 1 through 5. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and patience, the aged women likewise, that just means the older, mature women, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We'll keep talking about this, but I just want to stop here and say, it's a blessing, and please don't feel bad if this isn't your house right now. It's a blessing if you can have someone to keep the home and to just keep things organized and keep things decent and keep things taken care of. And as it says in our next passage in 1 Timothy chapter 5, to guide the house. Doesn't mean they rule the house, but they're guiding it. They're the managers of it. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. The only reason why Pastor Matt owns what he owns is because Pastor Matt's wife is very diligent to take care of things and to guide the house as well and to teach the children those things. And it's just a blessing all the way around. We all benefit from it. I mean, we're all getting a benefit. It's just a huge blessing to everybody, and it's a win-win for everyone, and we get ahead instead of behind. Listen, I've got relatives. I've been in homes where it's a two-party job thing. And they're both running ragged, and I've seen where it ended up in a divorce, and it just split. And the home was never like it should have been, never was picked up and taken care of, and the boys were out doing whatever. And one situation, one of the relatives of mine ended up getting molested in a swimming pool. Why? Because he's not at home. He's out at the YMCA, or you know what I mean? He's out at the daycare and that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, this type of stuff is what breaks down. We get away from, see, we're talking about America needs to get back to the roots. We got to get back to the Bible and the idea of what family is all about. And we swallowed this lie that we're being unkind and unfair to women. And I'm telling you right now, I think women are more depressed and oppressed than ever before. I don't think it helped anything. That wasn't the answer. The answer is to go to what God's word says and to see what God has to say. Let's keep going because we're going to run out of time. Let's keep going. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be your own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. Therefore, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall join unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and his wife, the wife, see that she reverence her husband. That's what God would have us to do. And you know why? Because our family is supposed to be an example of what our relationship to God is like. Our family is supposed to be an example of what our church relationship to God is as a bride of Christ. What a terrible testimony we are to the world when our families aren't what they ought to be. Family is more important to me and should be more important to me than even this ministry that I have, this church or this job, if you want to call it. It's more important. It's a bigger deal. It's more of my responsibility than anything. And it's important that we recognize the proper submission. And someone was asking me about this idea of submission the other day. Let me show you something in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, and then we'll go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1 and 2. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and give the ordinances I delivered unto you. Verse 3 says, but I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. See, there's an order here. There is an order of submission. There's an order of authority. There is an order of rank and role in our position that we play. And that's what it's saying right there in the Bible. Now, let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 what I'm telling you is that I've got a bigger job and a bigger responsibility and more that I'll answer for than my wife ever will. And notice, even though we talked about Eve tonight, and even though I said that Eve plucked it down with her hands, and she did. Notice that the Bible still says that sin entered by man. That by man sin entered in the world. Because it was when Adam went to and followed his wife into it, that's where, and God lays the responsibility on Adam more than even on Eve. Look at 2 Peter chapter number 2, and I think I meant 1 Peter, I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse number 21. 1 Peter 2:21. Someone was asking me the question the other day. Now, sometimes the Bible makes it sound like God is greater than Jesus. Well, as a human being, as a human and as a son, Jesus submitted to the Father. But Jesus was equal. Jesus is just as valuable as God. But there's a role and there's an example that Jesus sets for us. Okay? So show this. Let me see this here in verse 21. All right, 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Drop down here to verse 1 of chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. You see that right there? If you read that, Jesus is our example, and he submitted to his Father's will to be crucified, to bear the sins in his own body. And then the very next thing it says in chapter 3, verse 1, likewise. When you say likewise, you have to go and look at what it said previously. When you see the word likewise, that means you have to go above and see what it's talking about. Likewise as Jesus, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands as he submitted to the Father and his will, be submissive to him. All right? That's what it's saying there. All right? That we recognize that we're not saying that Jesus is not as valuable as God. But Jesus saw his role, his position, and what he was supposed to do. And if a lady will do that and will allow that to be the case, it will make all the difference in the world for her and her family. And unfortunately, as the case with that guy from Michigan who was in the boat out there in Hawaii, he was the problem. She wanted to stay home, but he didn't want her to, and so he talked her out of it. And I'm sorry. That was years ago. I don't know how old those kids are now. But whatever she made in Detroit working for Ford is not equal to the time loss and the lack of being there for her kids. It doesn't matter what their kids become. It's not equal to it. But that's the lie of the devil. And he's been lying to mothers and wives ever since the beginning. He told a lie to the very first wife that ever lived and told her that she would be so much better off if she'd listened to him. It's a lie. And ladies all over the place are believing this lie. And you probably will hear it because we follow the book, the old book, you'll probably hear it said that this church is chauvinistic and their women don't ever get to do nothing, blah, blah, blah. Listen, there's a lot of things that ladies are better at than we are at better. I mean, there's just so, look, if Pastor Matt had made the pizza for Anchor Club tonight, no kid would come back next week, okay? There's just so many things that play the piano. I mean, I don't even want to start the list because I'll forget something. But there's just so many things that I can't do, and you guys know. We can't do things at home. We can't speak and communicate with our kids in the same way that the moms can sometimes. But there's just a lot of stuff that ladies are so good at, and this idea that we're better is baloney. There is baloney, baloney, baloney. It's just that if you're going to have a body, there's got to be one head, not two heads. And that head's got to be who God says it's supposed to be. And we're supposed to recognize the position we play and recognize the role we're supposed to be in. And then there's more responsibility for us guys. There's just more responsibility for the men. There's more stress on us than there is when it's done right because we are the one that is accountable. So now I want to go to Proverbs chapter 31. Well, is God saying that women can't be industrious or they can't, you know, use a brain? Absolutely not. This idea of barefoot and pregnant, you know, whatever that, I don't know who said that or where that came from. It's a bunch of baloney. But Proverbs chapter 31 says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. I love this. He has no need of spoil. You know, Pastor Matt can tell you right now that there's hardly any time where I can think of where my wife wasted my money. The other day she dropped a knife and broke it, but seriously. Look, I was down in Pringle several years ago, and I was talking to this one guy in Pringle, and another guy drove up, and he's a business guy in town. I won't say who it is, but he drove up and he starts talking, and he starts talking about his wife, or maybe his girlfriend. I don't know, but I think it was his wife. He says, "Yeah, she's working," and then he said, at least I think she's working. Look, it says right here in Proverbs 31, the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. He has no need of spoil. He will not. I felt so bad for that guy. And I felt bad for the lady that he would say that in front of other people. Isn't that sad? I mean, there's never been a time where I've wondered, what's my wife doing with the credit card? No. You know? There's never been a time where I've wondered, where is she? You know? Is she out with so-and-so? That's not been the case, okay? And years ago, Mr. Dave and I were having a conversation about the coal mines. And it was when he was getting ready to go into the coal mines. And I said, Mr. Dave, I probably didn't say it. I probably just called him Dave in private. But I said, Dave, don't do what I see other guys do. And I said, I know you've got a wife that won't do this. But a lot of guys go work at the coal mines. And then their wife goes to the store with the credit card. And she's buying all kinds of stuff. And then he gets off work and he goes and buys a four-wheeler and a boat and an RV and a this. And of that, and of this. And I said, and then, you know what happens, Dave? Instead of getting to work at the coal mines, you have to work at the coal mines. I said, you want to work at the coal mines because you got some debts you want to pay off. Great. But don't start affording all this stuff so that you have to work at the coal mines. And so he did it for a while, and then he's out. That's a blessing, because back home, it's not like, oh, she's out buying this again. You know what I mean? You got to be on the same page. And guys, if you end up marrying a girl who just likes stuff, and she's always talking about how that she wishes she had this and that, and she's covetous, and she's got to have the latest and greatest, and man, you're going to have to build a huge house with a huge closet to fill up all that stuff that she's got, and it's going to wear you out. It's going to knock you dead. So if I can get through this before midnight, we'll keep reading. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and watches the late night soaps. Oh, no, that doesn't say that in there. She riseth also while it is night and giveth meat to her household and portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. Now, hold on a second. Does it sound like she's not allowed to think, or she's not allowed to have any kind of a business or do any kind of money making on her? No, this lady is industrious, and she's figuring out how to buy and sell and to make her family better off and to do stuff for her family. She's not the breadwinner, but she's doing stuff on the side besides taking care of her family. All right? So don't ever get the idea that God don't want women to have any education and he don't want them to ever. No, that's baloney. It says here, verse 17, she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. So that spindle, that's about sewing and just making things and taking care of things on her own and repairing things. What a blessing that is. Remember, I told you my own mother did not learn that. And she regrets that, but it wasn't really her fault either. She wasn't ever taught that. She grew up in a divorced home. Her father wanted her to be like he thought she should be, not like God wanted her to be. So she lacked some of those things. I think right now, she would tell you, even though she probably can hit a golf ball better and farther and straighter than anybody in this room, even you, at her age. And even now, she can serve, whew, a pretty good serve. But if you asked her, she'd tell you, it's worthless. A little white ball goes into a hole in the dirt. What does it do for you, man? Wow. But that's the way she was raised. Wow, she's so good. Great. You know, is that real success, you know? And so the poor lady, I mean, when she was young, she got married, and my dad, I mean, his mother, my dad's mom, my grandma, made my mom's wedding dress, made it. Okay, so that's where my dad comes from. He marries a lady who can hit a wall into a hole in the dirt, but she can't sew to save her life. So he comes to her and says, after they're married, I got these socks with this. Could you fix these socks? It's got this rip in this hole in the toe. You know, and I'm not kidding. This is how she fixed it, all right? So the hole is here. He's got this huge blister in his foot because he's walking around with this thing all wadded up in his, you know, because he's too afraid to tell her. That was a terrible job, you know. But she can hit a little white ball into a hole in the dirt. I'm not making fun of her. I'm just trying to make fun of the idea, okay? She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. They're well prepared. She makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband, this is what I was talking about earlier. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Why do you think that is? Because she has helped him to be that way. She has made him that way. She has made him kingly, and she is queenly. Because she has propped him up and made him look good. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. She's industrious. She's a business lady. She strengtheneth her hands, her strength and honor in her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. In the young years, the other ladies think that she's missing it. But 10, 20, 30 years down the road, they realize who it is that really was the wise woman. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. She just didn't waste time. And verse 28, this has got to be the most rewarding. Her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. That's the rewards that really probably is more important than anything. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. Just ask the grandmas how important all that is. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That's what you want. That's what God wants. And that's it's doable. And it might be something that you say, you know what, we got to take this step here and then teach our children to take the next step farther. So Matt Furze is so far ahead at age 46 than his parents were because his parents pioneered the way. His parents made those tough decisions they had to make. And it's a blessing to Matt Furze. Same thing with Wilma. It's a blessing to us because our parents, they did some hard things back then. This pastor from Brookings, his name is Yoder, and they were Amish just like the Ashrocks, and they lived farmhouse right next. They're not cousins, but they were neighbors. And his dad, Pastor Yoder's dad, is the palsied, crippled Amish teacher that led the whole group out. That kind of was the instrumental one to get them all to get saved. And it wasn't until Monday night when we were sitting around talking together that I realized for the first time, you know, Wilma's dad and all the other guys, they were farmers. And they were losing a lot. They were losing a lot themselves. But they could still go farm. But Glenn Yoder, he was a school teacher. And as soon as he left the Amish, his job was done. I never thought about that before. He literally lost his income when this whole thing happened. And you know what, young people? We don't think about what our parents did until we get older. We don't contemplate and recognize how much they put up with. And I hope you realize that and appreciate the pioneering. Grant and Everett, you're way ahead probably than your parents were at your age. Okay? All of you. Every teen in here, I would say, you're way ahead than where your parents were at your age. Don't waste it and appreciate it. And then mom and dads and grandma and grandpas, just understand that maybe you can't get to the ultimate goal in your lifetime, but you can help your kids get there by pushing them in the right direction and showing them from the Bible why God's always right. So everything you heard Tucker Carlson say is fixed by this book right here. All those problems are fixed with this right here if we just do it and follow the principles behind it. Don't listen to these ladies that tell you how chauvinistic Pastor Matt is and how so much. Don't listen to them. What you need to do is watch and see how their daughters and their granddaughters and their great-granddaughters turned out and see if you want to be like that. That's what you need to look at, okay? And decide if that's really the direction you want to go. I'm over time. I promised I wouldn't go over this time, and I have, so I need to stop. So let's pray, and we'll be dismissed tonight. I hope you're encouraged, and I hope you're challenged, and not discouraged, but rather encouraged to say, you know what, I want to do it the Bible way. God's way is always right. His principles are always, always the best.